Like it or not, we share our homes with hundreds of species of bugs. Maybe 500 different kinds of bugs could be living in your house right now. And while those results may give you the heebie-jeebies, our guest entomologist says, don't be alarmed. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk about this new study that finds that many different kinds of bugs are living amongst us. Most of them are harmless, and what possible upsides there might be to us. And we'll welcome your questions for him. We'll welcome your own firsthand experiences. What kinds of bugs have you seen crawling around your house recently? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Matthew Bertone, an entomologist at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. He is the lead author of a new study that is published in the scientific journal Piers, and it is called Arthropods of the Great Indoors, Characterizing Diversity Inside Urban and Suburban Homes. Good morning.
Good morning.
So 500 different kinds of bugs may be living in my house right now?
No, that number is actually what we found from the entire study.
Okay.
From all 50 homes. What we found from each individual home was, on average, about 90 species. But we want to make it clear that a number of these things that we found were accidental invaders. They came in from outdoors and spent a little time in our home. Maybe some of them made it outdoors, but the ones we found probably died while they were inside.
Well, 90 is certainly less than 500, and I apologize. I was just kind of reading headlines there. But that's still quite a few. That maybe 90 different kinds of bugs in our homes. How did you find this out?
Yes. So we asked volunteers to let us into their homes, and me and a team of other entomologists basically set up a little shop there, and we strapped on some knee pads, headlamps, flashlights. We had tweezers and aspirators, which are devices used to suck up insects, and went around to each room and searched high and low on all visible surfaces and collected any type of living or dead arthropod we could find. And we put those into vials of alcohol for sorting later on and identification.
And what exactly is an arthropod?
Yes, so arthropods are the largest group of animals on Earth, the most diverse group of animals on Earth. There's over a million species of arthropods, and these include things like insects, spiders, mites, centipedes, and even things we even like to eat or are familiar, like crabs and lobsters and things in the ocean. So things with jointed legs and a hard exoskeleton are considered arthropods.
Oh, boy. And anybody have crabs in their house? I mean, in terms of the ones you'd find on the beach.
Oh, well, actually, funny you should say that. We did find two tiny, tiny hermit crabs in somebody's kitchen on their floor. We have no idea where they came from. I think they're just some kind of random thing that we found in that home, but that was extremely surprising. We did not expect to find any sea creatures in people's homes. Of course, they were dead, but yes, so we're still scratching our head on that one.
All right, so I mentioned earlier in the hour before we had you on that a lot of people know that I'm a little bit afraid of spiders. But then they're always in my house, especially in my bathroom. What's the deal with that?
Well, it might be that your bathroom is a little more humid, although spiders are very good at surviving in dry conditions. They like to set up shop all over places in the home, and we found them in just about every type of room and almost every room in the home. And so it's spiders are just everywhere, and we have a few groups of spiders that really like to live with us.
Who are they? What kinds of spiders like to live with us?
So the most common spiders that live with us are cobweb spiders and cellar spiders, sometimes called daddy longleg spiders, not to be confused with harvestmen, which are the kind of daddy longlegs you see out in the woods. These two groups of spiders are common around the world. Cobweb spiders, there are a few types that live in homes. They're, you know, one of their important relatives is the black widows. But most of the cobweb spiders that live with us are harmless.
And I know they are, and I'm better now that I'm not burning down the house, as I mentioned. But you were quoted in an article as saying that there is an old there's a phrase that says that we may only be 10 feet away from a spider at any given time, and that's probably true in our own homes.
Probably, you know, they're very small spiders around. There are spiders that are kind of hiding, so you won't really see them, and you probably won't interact with them. But we did find, for instance, cobweb spiders in 65% of the rooms that we sampled, and then there are other spiders that kind of wander into homes, crawl around, maybe crawl on the ceiling and the walls, and then you know, try and get their way out, or just kind of hunt whatever they can find inside.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are there various spiders in our homes? I mean, they're eating all these other bugs that are hanging out there. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, so they can you know, they can live long periods of time without food. Many of them, they have very slow metabolisms, and so they can kind of wait and be patient for some ants to come in looking for water or food in our house, or you know, a hapless insect to fly indoors and get caught in their web.
We are talking with Matthew Bertone, an entomologist at North Carolina State University, about his new study about how many different kinds of bugs are living in our homes at any given time. 90 of them. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question, or maybe you have a bug you'd like to ask about, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we again welcome your questions about bugs and the bugs that you are living with. And they are mostly harmless, you say, Matthew, but are there some that are a little bit harmful?
Well, I mean, it all depends. There's kind of a spectrum of different types of arthropods in homes. Many of them, like the cobweb spiders you mentioned, are very benign. They can even be beneficial if they're catching pest species. Many of the things also that we found were scavengers, so they're kind of living off of things that we don't care about, like shed hairs and feathers and dead insects and things like that. Then you get some insects that are associated with our food products, and of course they can be, they're not directly harmful to us, but they're a nuisance, and they can be kind of disgusting to people to open up their box of cereal or something like that and find caterpillars from Indian meal moths or some kind of beetle in there. And then you get into some directly harmful insects to us, things like bed bugs and cockroaches, and even we found a lot of mosquitoes in homes, which people think of as an outdoors kind of thing, but they do follow us indoors sometimes and can bite. So we do have some, you know, a broad range of things that we find in homes. Now, luckily, in our study, we didn't find a lot of the very harmful things. Things like fleas and bed bugs were either not found or extremely uncommon.
Yeah. What about poisonous spiders?
Yeah, so almost all spiders have venom, and so they need this to help to immobilize their prey and then start to digest their prey. But the good thing is that the spiders that we find around are, first of all, not aggressive, and second of all, many of them are so small that their fangs couldn't even pierce our skin even if they wanted to. And so spiders are, you know, they don't want to interact with us in that kind of way. They're going to lose that battle, really. And so, you know, they do their thing, and although they do have venom, there is very little chance that you're going to get bit by a spider, you know, in many homes. Now, there are some areas of the world that have more spiders. In the Midwest, you know, not in North Carolina, there are things like brown recluses that live in homes and can bite people. But for the most part, spiders are not very aggressive.
We are talking about the bugs that live among us, and we are welcoming your questions and any examples you want to share. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with a guest entomologist from North Carolina State University, lead author of a new study that is published in the scientific journal Pier J, called Arthropods of the Great Indoors, characterizing diversity inside urban and suburban homes. We'll take your calls from him after this. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So what bugs have you noticed in your house? Does the idea of living among a lot of bugs make you a little bit squeamish, or are you cool with your roommates? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Matthew Bertone, an entomologist at North Carolina State University, lead author of a new study that found that we share our homes with hundreds of different kinds of bugs. Let's take our first caller, Colleen in Beaver Dam. Hi, Colleen.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. And you have a pet spider, I understand.
Well, I did. I wanted to. It was during one of the summers, and my window was right above my kitchen sink was open. It had a screen on it, and I always lined it with plants. The window. So and I had noticed this spider that lived in one of the plants, and he was a fairly good size, not, you know, tiny, tiny, but he was a decent size. And I started to take a little piece of grass or something and kind of pester him, and he would come out when I was doing dishes, and he wouldn't run away, and I would pet him, or not pet him, but run this over him. And he was there all summer, and I kept telling my kids, and they were adults by this, and I'd say, I have a pet spider, I think. And they'd like, no, you don't. And I was telling my sister-in-law about it one day, and I said, watch him. And so we did this with him, and they must be somewhat sociable. He wasn't afraid of me. I don't know what it was.
So let me get that. What kind of spider was it, or what did it look like?
Well, it was a it wasn't a black widow or anything like that. I never kill spiders. It looked like the kind that you'd find in a house spider, but like he could also have been a garden spider or a little outside the back door or something. He was fairly, like about the size of one of my fingernails. You know, not huge, but he lived in an African violet.
And he had, interesting. So, then you say you used to. He just eventually stopped coming out to your blade of grass?
I couldn't find him after that. I don't know if he went out of the house or if it got turned cold and I closed my window. I don't know what happened to him.
No, I suppose they don't live forever, Matthew.
Yeah, no, they don't. And so was this something that lived in kind of a little retreat, like a little hole? Like it had its web had a little hole in it, or was it kind of out in the open in a web?
He would come out onto the windowsill, and he lived in a plant. I could see him, but I would see him come out. I could see him come out of the African violet was pretty big, so he must have had a web or something.
You didn't see the web though, Colleen. Apparently,
I didn't. I didn't. And he would walk out and sit on the windowsill, and I thought that's very interesting.
Huh.
And so I could touch him, and I didn't want to touch him with my finger, just not because I was afraid, but I thought that maybe is just way too. But he would respond to this little feathery piece of grass that I would use. So
are spiders sociable like that, Matthew?
Well, there are actually some social spiders in the world that do live in colonies, or some of them even hunt together. So they can be social with each other. And I know that there are many pet spiders, of course, tarantulas and things like that, that get quite accustomed to their owners and can be docile and everything. So spiders are not as fearful as they should be, really, as people think they are. And, you can actually, I think it might have been some kind of funnel web spider or grass spider, because they basically make a little hole retreat, like a tube, and then they come out on a little sheet of webbing that they crawl out on. And what they do is they actually are responding to vibrations in the web, thinking it's food, and they'll come out. And if they get used to you, they know you're not a threat, and they'll probably be less scared of you. And spiders actually can live a long time. Some of them can live several years, if not a couple decades. Some tarantulas can live 25 years, for instance. And so they're not very short-lived arthropods. And, who knows where it went. It could have just moved spots or hopefully not died. But you may see it again. You may not.
Interesting. That's funny. I do not kill spiders either, even though I have been afraid of them. And I'm learning to live with them when I see them far enough away from me in the house. But if they're right on the light switch, I have my husband come in and he'll pick them up with a tissue and he'll put them outside for me. That's probably not doing their longevity any good, is it?
Well, it depends. I mean, some of the spiders that are kind of running around that aren't in webs, they're used to all different environments, and so putting them outside is no big deal for them. They may even be happy because some of those spiders are less adapted to living in homes than outdoors. Other spiders, like the common house spiders and things like that, some of the cobweb spiders are very closely associated with homes, but can live on the outside of homes for long periods of time.
Yeah, so some of these spiders are inside, and they don't want to be inside.
Yeah, so some of them wander inside. Some of the larger wolf spiders and things like that, they have probably large areas they need to roam to find prey. And so the indoor environment, despite all the arthropods we did find, it's not a lot of biomass. It's not a lot of individual specimens for them to feed on. They're going to have much better success being outside.
Corey in Heartland is with us. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Joy. How are you this morning?
Pretty good.
I'm kind of like you. I'm not a big fan of spiders. But I did find out I have these bugs. I call them centipedes or whatever. I know they're not. They look like little dust mops. They got legs all the way around them, type thing. Mm-hmm. And they eat spiders. So when I see those, I just leave them alone. I got like one or two of them that I see once in a while early in the morning, but they come out at night. They like to stay kind of in the shadow, so I don't really have to look at them too much. But I don't have any spiders in my house that I know about.
Wait a minute. There's a creepy looking bug that eats spiders? What is this, Matthew?
Yeah, so there's actually lots of things that eat spiders, even other spiders that eat spiders.
Yeah, I suppose.
So this, what he's describing is a house centipede, and that's a thousand-legger. People have very strong feelings against them, usually. They are usually freaked out by them. They're very fast. They are leggy. They're very well-adapted to living in people's homes, and they're one of the few centipedes that are. And they are actually originally from the Mediterranean region of the world. And they've traveled around with humans, and they like to live in homes because we have certain things for them to eat. Now, they will eat spiders. They won't go into a spider's web because, actually, in that case, the spider may win win that battle. But they may hunt spiders that are, traveling around the environment. They also really like cockroaches and flies. They particularly like cockroaches. And so they can actually be beneficial in certain situations. And although they are venomous, like spiders, they are not aggressive as well. And they are much, much more apt to run away from people than to run at them or be aggressive at all.
Yeah, those are, I have seen, that's the centipede that is just, it's almost looks hairy.
Yeah, they have very long hair-like legs.
Yeah.
They've got very, and that's actually one of the most interesting things I've learned about them is that they actually have prehensile legs. So when they go and capture prey, they actually can wrap their legs around the legs of the prey and hold onto it very tightly. And then they have a specialized pair of legs. The first pair of legs in all centipedes is specialized to deliver venom.
Yeah. Let's go to Pam next in Kellogg, Minnesota. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I love that spider story. I'm a campground host, and I had a couple spiders that I really liked and hope they would stay around a while down at the campground, but someone didn't like the looks of them, I guess. But my question was, are there fewer walking sticks than there used to be? I've only seen two in the last 40 years. And I think there's a lot of people that have never seen them. I pointed one out down to the campground, and people were quite fascinated.
Yeah, so walking sticks, I'm not sure. I've only seen a few in the wild. Down here in the southeast, we have a species of walking stick on the coast that can be very common. The walking stick you're talking about is a thinner brown or sometimes greenish walking stick. And I'm not sure exactly. I don't know any of the research on walking stick numbers and populations. It may be that they're just hiding very well, of course. It may be a seasonal thing. But I really don't know much about walking stick populations.
And walking sticks are not the types of bugs that you're finding in homes.
No, we didn't find any walking sticks in the homes. But, you know, it is possible, you know, of course, for them to wander into a home if you leave a door open or something like that. I think it will be very, very rare if it does even happen. But if you leave that door open, anything can get in, I guess.
Give us an idea. I'm trying to, give us an idea of the types of bugs you were finding. You know, how many, the most bugs and the different types of species. I mean, you're finding spiders and flies and beetles and just about everything?
Yes, so we found a lot of diversity, but the things we found most commonly, we had about 12 families of arthropods that we found in over 80% of the homes. And it was kind of split, so the most common ones that live in homes for long periods of time were things like cobweb spiders, carpet beetles, book lice, dark-winged fungus gnats, ants, which basically can live maybe sometimes in a structure like carpenter ants, but oftentimes are just coming into homes to look for food and water. And then we have a number of groups of things that wander in accidentally. So we had a lot of leafhoppers and gall midges, which are very tiny flies. And these are either attracted to lights or they're kind of just flying through the environment and so small that you leave, you open the door for a second and one kind of comes in and ends up dying.
Oh my gosh! What about wasps?
So we found some wasps definitely. I'm not sure if it's a factor that people find them very easily and get rid of them outside of their house. We find them sometimes up in the attics because wasps, paper wasps, and things like that like to nest up in the eaves of homes out on the outside. But wasps, a lot of wasps don't live in homes. They're too big, and they need a lot of food, and they have little colonies sometimes to support, like paper wasps and such. Although you will sometimes find hornet's nests up in attics in homes, although we didn't. Now, there are other little wasps, so ants technically are a type of wasp. Basically, there's also some other wasps that parasitize things like carpet beetles and other insects that live in homes. So they can be found sometimes in large numbers when you've got their food source.
Yeah, and were you surprised at how many bugs you found in homes?
I was. I mean, we really didn't have any idea what we would find when we went in these homes. And these were all very typical homes, nothing spectacular or special about them as far as that we could predict that we'd find so many things. But, yeah, we found at least 10,000 specimens in the 50 homes. And, we tallied up at least 579 species from a couple hundred families, which are the basic units of what we classify insects in. And so I was surprised. And some of the things we found were extremely rare, even outdoors, and rarely seen in traps that we set specifically for outdoor insects. And so, you know, yeah, I was surprised.
So, you know, I'm thinking, maybe these things are harmless, but they still kind of creep us out a little bit. Do I have a dirty home if I have a bunch of fungus gnats or book lice?
No, I don't think so. I think the thing is that these things, the other thing we should get clear is that most of these things are very small. Somebody asked about how big of a bucket or what kind of thing would all these specimens fill. Well, it's probably about half a shot glass, or, you know, most of them would fit inside a shot glass unless you have, say, some larger things like some of those house centipedes and some of the larger cockroaches that we get down here. They're very small, only a few millimeters long. The book lice are only about a millimeter long, so it looks like a little piece of dust that's moving around. So these things are, you know, happy. They can feed for a long time on just an insect leg or, you know, a little bit of hair. So, you know, they're always going to find those little bits of food, and the spiders are always going to find little spaces to hide. Now, you can try your best, but I don't think it's really worth it to clean 24 hours a day just to get rid of these things.
Let's go to Betty in Brown Deer now. Hi, Betty.
Oh, hi. Dandy. I have a pet insect. I think he's probably Hemiptera, a little shield bug, or maybe a stink bug. He came in on my lemon tree, and I was wondering how I can make him comfortable in the house until spring so I can release him again. He moves from leaf to leaf, but I never see him walk. He's real slow.
Huh. Oh, what a yeah. Stink bug, huh?
He's so cute. They're dandy. I love insects. I would love to find a field guide that doesn't just look at pests. They're just interesting. They've got all these wonderful life cycles, and some of them are real tiny, and I can't get a good look at them.
Oh, call her after your own heart, Matthew.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so there are a number of guides out there if you're looking for some. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some of them offhand. There's some larger ones that are really nice. Steve Marshall has a great one on Eastern North America, Insects and Their Diversity. It's a very large book, a hardback, but has so many wonderful pictures in it. And there's a few others that are around. Art Evans has one that's really great, too. Those can help you ID things. Also, an online resource called Bug Guide is a really fantastic resource. I use it a lot for identifications as well. And it all depends on what kind of insect it is. Certain stink bugs do like to actually come in homes and overwinter. They'll hibernate up in, say, your attic. But depending on what kind of insect it is, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, any idea of how, I mean, you're not, this one wants to hang out on a lemon tree and Betty wants to keep it comfortable over the winter. Is there anything she can do to keep it comfortable?
Yeah, it all depends on what the type of insect it is. That's really key, and that's actually my job, is to identify insects. And so it's very important because, for instance, stink bugs, there are some that are predators and some that are plant feeders. And so, of course, knowing which type it is will help you feed it, or deal with it if it becomes a pest or something like that. So we do have a service in our clinic where you can email pictures of insects, and I'll ID them. And that's certainly a possibility if you want to find my contact information afterward.
So that maybe we can, Betty, why don't you post a photo on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page too, so we can all take a look at your pet bug, maybe a stink bug. And you're thinking, Matthew, you're not sure if it's a stink bug or not, if it's on a lemon tree.
It's really hard to tell because a lot of stink bugs also will feed on a variety of different plants. And it's hard to tell also whether it's actually feeding on the plant or just kind of resting there.
Yeah. Let's go next to Kay in Madison. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I have a little menagerie in my apartment. I have, first I saw one or two little flying insects there, and now I've got maybe four or five that are in my bathroom, and most of them are in my kitchen area near my pantry. And they're light brown, maybe a little blackish. And I thought maybe I was dealing with, are they called pantry moths?
It could be. So, yeah, it all depends. And
I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of them. I kill them when I see them. Bugs don't normally bother me. I like the spiders, but these are getting too many.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, the pantry pests can sometimes become really a nuisance. And if it is a pantry pest or, the moths, the pantry moths, the Indian meal moths and some of those other ones are kind of long brownish red with kind of a little bit of patterns on them. And in the paper, we actually, on one of the figures, the moth that's a photo of the moth, that's actually an Indian meal moth. With all pantry pests and those types of things, basically finding the source of the infestation is the best bet. So just search your different stored products and your foods, looking for ones that aren't well sealed. If you dump them out and you find a number of caterpillars or silk or just lots of the insect, then you're pretty sure you found the source. But keep searching. Dispose of the ones that are, you can even freeze before you dispose of it to kill everything. Dispose of the ones that are infested and make sure everything else is well sealed, and that should help out the problem. Now, of course, again, with the previous caller, proper identification is really the best way to know what's going on and where it's coming from.
We are talking with Matthew Bertone, who is an entomologist at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. He is the lead author of a new study, which is published in the scientific journal PeerJ. It's called Arthropods of the Great Outdoors, Characterizing Diversity Inside Urban and Suburban Homes, talking about the many different species of bugs that are living in our homes right now. And we shouldn't be freaked out, according to our guest. And we're welcoming your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest entomologist about the bugs that are living in our homes. In his study, he found out that we share our homes with dozens of different species of bugs. Most of them are harmless, and in some cases, they are beneficial to us. And we're welcoming your questions about the study. We're welcoming your questions about the bugs that you have noticed in your home. And welcoming your reactions to this study, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next caller is Sandra in Waterford. Hi, Sandra.
Well, good morning. Hi. I have a question for Matthew. I live on the Tishigan Lake area, and we were encouraged to buy screens that were very tightly meshed because we do get bugs indoors. My problem is all through last summer and this winter, we've managed to incur these little tiny black bugs. They're about the size of a pinhead on a needle. They're not sewer bugs. They're not fleas, but there's hundreds and hundreds of them. They love to live in the palm tree soil that we planted in our living room. They do fly around the room. They seem harmless, but they will land on your body. And I use those gold sticky tubes, they're called, and they are attracted to that. Hundreds of them just kind of go ahead and stick to them. But they, as soon as that one fills up, I put another one out, that fills up. What are those things? They're just like the size of a pinhead.
Do you have any idea, Matthew?
And they love the wind.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it could be a couple of things. So if it's indoors and they're coming from the indoors, and you said you have one houseplant or several houseplants, or?
Well, actually, I have two palm trees. One is large, one is small, and they hang out in the soil.
Yeah. So that sounds a lot like dark-wing fungus gnats, and they were one of the most common groups of insects we found indoors because many of them are associated with houseplants. Their larvae live in the soils, potted plant soils, and the larvae feed on fungus and decaying matter, every once in a while they can become a pest in places like greenhouses or of seedlings. But the best advice we have for that is to reduce the watering of the houseplants. They can't survive in drier soils, and your houseplants can typically survive with less watering than many people give them. So that's if they're coming from inside the house. You mentioned you're on a lake. There's another group of flies called non-biting midges that come from lakes and come from outdoors and are attracted to lights. But it sounds like the ones you're dealing with are probably from the houseplants.
Good luck, Sandra. Thanks for the call. Mary in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Last spring, I discovered a large population of what I believe to be a carpet beetle. I think the Trogoderma, a varied species. I did send pictures to our entomology site in Madison. And my question is, I'm an avid researcher. I have a doctoral degree, so I read a lot. I've read museum curators. I've read peer-reviewed journals. I've called pesticide companies. I believe I've tried everything a person could try, and I'm still finding the larvae. I know they're not harmful other than maybe allergic reactions. I'm reluctant to use something harmful for a pest that's harmless. At the same time, they were in food sources. And my question is, what is your opinion about using diatomaceous earth if it's food grade? I have hostas outside. I wondered, should I get rid of them? And also, is there any source that I maybe haven't thought of? I've gone through everything except the inside of my walls, which obviously I can't reach.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, and where are you finding them most of the time?
They're concentrated in the kitchen around the sink, but I've found them literally everywhere, but in most concentration in the kitchen where I did used to have dogs. So there was pet food and pet hair, and I understand that's attractive. I have found no damage to any clothing or objects. So it's mostly the disgusting factor, and
yeah.
Also I don't want to eat them, although I understand they could be beneficial to my health.
Yeah, no, that is, you know, so we did find carpet beetles and other dermestids in almost all the homes. Actually, 100% of the homes had dermestids. And so you're not alone there, first of all. They are difficult to get rid of completely, I think. But Trogoderma is an interesting one. They are less likely to feed on the things that other carpet beetles will feed on. They're going to be more likely to feed on stored products and things like that. And so, you know, other than systematically going through all of your, you know, boxed food and things like that, making sure everything's in a well-sealed container, then basically cleaning up anything anywhere where, you know, sometimes dog food or hair gets stuck under somewhere where you're not sure, and that can feed a nice population of these beetles. You're right that they're not going to be directly pests. Luckily, if it's Trogoderma, they're not going to be feeding on clothing or anything like that. Even if so, it would only be wool clothing for some of the carpet beetles. But really, you know, just trying to clean up. There are situations where you're right that in the wall, say a rodent leaves a store of seeds inside the wall, something like that, that feeds the population. Those are very difficult situations. And, you know, other than calling a pest control operator who can give you a little bit more specific advice, seeing the home itself, it's difficult. You know, just, you know, when you see them, you can just clean them up and everything. You know, it's not something you can set outside, really, that's going to enjoy being outside. So, you know, it's something that people will generally just kill, I think.
Oh, thank you, Mary, for the call. Is there an upside for home dwellers in sharing our homes with any of these bugs?
You mean homeowners for having them? I think there's not a lot of negatives unless, again, like situations like that where you're actively seeing them and they're being a nuisance. If they're, you know, I want to get the message across, too, that if you are having a real pest issue, if you have bed bugs or cockroaches or even these pantry pests or things like that are becoming a huge nuisance, you should seek help and get control of these types of things. But most of the things that we have that we did find, people were surprised about. They really had never seen them. We don't really see them in our daily lives. We can kind of go on kind of pretending that they're not there and just let them be, I think. As far as benefits, you know, some are pest control. Some do feed on other pestiferous arthropods. Others basically just, you know, are kind of a cleanup crew, although they don't clean as efficiently as our vacuums or things like that.
Bill in Madison emails, in our house, inconvenient predators get moved into the basement. We've gotten into the habit of checking the shower and tub every day. Our favorite find is a pseudoscorpion.
Uh-huh.
Are these found across the country? Where should I look to find one? What do they eat?
Oh, they're great. They're one of my favorites. And we did find them in the study. And they are found all around the world with people, basically. Just like a lot of these other arthropods that have traveled around the world, some of these groups are well-adapted to live in homes. So pseudoscorpions are a very small type of arachnid. They are related to mites and scorpions and things like that. They look like scorpions on the front half because they've got big, large claws, like mm-hmm. a crab or a scorpion, mm-hmm. but they lack a venomous tail. Now, they do have a venom in their claws, but this venom is not harmful to people, and all of them are very, very small. They're only a few millimeters long or so. And what they do is they hunt things like book lice and maybe carpet beetles and ants, things like that that they can capture. So they're kind of quietly roaming around homes sometimes, and they are very cute. They're very harmless, and they're pretty endearing, I think.
A pseudoscorpion. What a find that is. Let's go next to Veronica in Janesville. Hi, Veronica.
Hi. Couple things. I'm wondering, back to the spider issue, about what I refer to as a wolf spider. I'm not sure if it really is. They're kind of big and fast and hairy and scary looking when I find them in my family room. Are they venomous at all? Are they a danger? I do try to catch them and put them outside. There has been a few that I've had to kill, though. And then what I refer to as flour bugs, as in, you know, baking flour or whatever, those little brown, little tiny brown bugs that will invade your pantry or whatever.
Is that a flour bug?
Yeah, so as far as the spiders, yeah, large wolf spiders and larger spiders are, you know, they have larger fangs, so they can technically bite, but they're usually very afraid of people. They're not aggressive. As long as you capture them safely, you can transfer them outdoors, and they'll be happy for you to do that. And really, they can be fast and scary, but bites from things like that are very rare. Now, as far as pantry pests and the flower beetles, it sounds like you probably have some kind of flower beetles is what they're called. They're a type of darkling beetle, very tiny reddish-brown one, and they're one of the ones that likes to feed on flour that's been processed. A lot of the other groups will prefer larger grains and things like that. Flower beetles can be pests, of course, of your food products. They're not going to hurt you directly. But, you know, again, keeping containers tightly sealed, if you do find an infestation, freezing it and then disposing of it properly will help get rid of them. You know, another thing about flower beetles is they're actually become a genetic model organism because they're so easy to breed, and there are two species that are closely related and have different behaviors and such. And so they're actually being actively studied based on their genetics.
Oh, and Veronica did want to know, are the bugs in the flower when she bought it, or did they come into her house and find that flower?
Oh, so it all depends. It is possible if a package of flour has been sitting in a store for too long for them to be in there, but they're often coming in. When people open the flour, they're using it. They may not use it very quickly. And it's very difficult to predict exactly how and where they get in to this flour.
Let's go to Amanda in Baldwin. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So when I always listen to your show in the morning on my way into work, and I almost turned it off because I heard spiders and I hate them so much. But it was interesting. So the other day my family and I were talking. We have these spiders. They look like little aliens. Like the bodies are very bulbous, and then they have like short little legs. And they creep all of us out. I'm wondering first what type of spider you might think that is. And then second,
Amanda, I'm sorry, yeah. Because describe it again. It looks like a little alien.
Yeah, so the head it's very bulbous. The body is very bulbous. They're like different colors. They're anywhere from like cream colored with spots, like kind of orangish.
Is it itty bitty? Like
they pretty?
No, go ahead. What do you think, Matthew?
Yeah, so I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it looks very much like a cartoon spider, like somebody drew it, and it's not like a typical spider.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's actually one of the ones I wanted to talk about. That could be one of my favorite types of spiders, and it may be a spitting spider, which are very cool spiders. The one, Scytodes thoracica, is a species of spitting spider that's from Europe originally, and they are kind of a creamy, almost to brown, but with spots, specks all over their body. Very thin legs, very, almost looks like you put two balls together and put some legs on it, like a cartoon spider. We found them in a number of homes. They are common around homes, common among homes, but every once in a while you'll get a home that has them. And they're called spitting spiders because they're the only spiders that have an extra set of silk glands, and those are in their head. And these silk glands are connected to their venom glands, and they basically spit silk onto their prey and then go up and eat the prey. And they are harmless. They sometimes actually hunt other spiders, and you can actually, observe them doing this. If they have some prey near them, they'll go up and they'll spit the silk on them.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of such a thing. And I'm asking Bill Martins, my producer director, to try to find a photo of one of them, and we'll put it up on the Facebook page. And I guess Amanda, you can let us know if that's what it is. But that's one of your favorite spiders, huh, Matthew?
Definitely. And, when I was a kid, I read about them and I thought, I don't know if I'll ever see one of these things. And actually, it was the first time I ever saw one was in a colleague's house, crawling up the wall. And then during the study, we found in 5 of the 50 homes, we found spitting spiders. And in one home in particular, there was a nice, healthy population of them, just crawling around. I found anything from babies and males and females. So I was really excited. I kept a few of them as kind of pets to feed and just to observe because it was such a great spider. And some of them actually in the tropics are social. So some of them are actually hunt together. So a number of them will be spitting on prey.
We have just a minute left, and now we have full lines, and I have so many more questions. Do you have a last-minute suggestion on how we can increase our overall comfort level with the bugs that we live with?
I think just learning about them more and learning which ones are harmful and which ones are harmless, again, the vast majority being harmless, is a huge step in your comfort level. Go to our paper, read about some of the things we found, just go online and do some research for yourself. And, I think the more you look at them and the more you understand them, the more you can relate to them and hopefully enjoy and appreciate them.
Thank you very much for being with us.
No problem.
Matthew Bertone is an entomologist at North Carolina State University in Raleigh, lead author of this new study published in the scientific journal Peer J called Arthropods of the Great Indoors. Thanks very much to Chris Molina for producing this program, to Bill Martins for on-air direction, and to Naisha Ellison for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about colorism. Find out more about that tomorrow at this time. This is the Ideas Network.